We pray. Good Shepherd, guide us ever onward. Hold us close in your arms. Prepare us for a brand new day in your truth and in your favor. Feed us with your life-giving word that we might rejoice in all times that you are Good Shepherd, and in you we have life, life to the full. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. In our gospel lesson, Jesus describes himself not as just a shepherd, but as the Good Shepherd, the one and only. And we are the sheep of his flock, little lambs in his pen, safe, guarded, guided, carried in his almighty arms. What a marvelous picture. Jesus isn't like the Pharisees, the false shepherds that didn't have a nickel worth of love for any of the people. No, the Pharisees were all about themselves. Yeah, their own popularity, their own control over the people, their own self-righteous, sanctimonious self-image. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who's willing to die for his sheep and to rise again. He's the one who keeps us from being led astray by false shepherds by the power of his holy word that cuts through the darkness and illuminates, lightens our heart of hearts. He's the one who protects us from all the wolves by his glorious Easter victory. Easter is a continuous celebration of our Savior's victory. He laid down his life on the cross in order to pay for our sins, in order to cancel our account, in order to make us the very children of God. He rose on that glorious Easter morning to declare victory. Victory over each and every one of our enemies. And so today we want to focus in on just how far-reaching that victory of Christ truly is to the very heart and core of our being. This picture that Jesus paints for us, him being the Good Shepherd standing over his sheep, and they rest safe and secure and loved, oh, that fills our heart with peace and our eyes with tears of joy that we should be the very children and sheep of God. The Lord says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures." There's a reason why that verse is so loved by so many people. Jesus' picture is wonderful. But does it really describe your life? During your days, does much of the happenings of your day reflect this beautiful picture of little lambs that are just lying in the sun on a green lawn of their pen, safely guarded behind the gates and next to a smooth running brook? Would you say, yeah, that pretty much sounds like my life I'm living? Or is there somehow a disconnect there? In this marvelous description of being his sheep, is Jesus talking fiction here? Just a nice romantic picture? Or perhaps he's talking about what life will be once we get home to heaven? Or could it be that Jesus is describing the life he wants to give us right here, right now, if only we would learn how to rest in his arms? There may be many days when we don't feel like sheep of our good shepherd. We might be feeling at days that Jesus isn't as much of a good shepherd as he's a sleeping shepherd or a vacationing shepherd. because our life seems to be filled with pain and enemies and heartache, not green pastures. Like wolves standing outside the wall, we might at sometimes be afraid of enemies that will never attack us. We're just simply afraid because they're there. But God says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Wow, such power. King David destroyed the peace he had with the good shepherd when he decided to commit adultery with Bathsheba and kill her husband, Uriah. David recounts that his bones were wasting away all day long in agony when he refused to repent of his sin. There is no peace for those who want to live in sin. Only fearful expectation of judgment. But as in King David's case, so our case, our good shepherd time and time again goes out looking for the wandering, the strays, the lost sheep, to come and pluck them out of their scalding cauldron of their sins and heal their wounds in his grace, to bathe them in his blood, to once again restore them, to rescue them, and to bring them back to his green pastures of peace and joy, love and hope that stretch from this moment on into eternity. It's true, just as God called Jesus to suffer terribly so that he could work his master plan of saving us, so some days Jesus calls for us to suffer. Illness, tornadoes, our enemies who are cruel to us. He calls for us to suffer to accomplish his glorious purposes and will, even though we may never know what that is. Ultimately, all suffering, whatever pain and anguish and misery we have in our life, it's there for one holy purpose, to keep us snuggled up tight to our good shepherd, leaving no space between him and us. The closer we are with Jesus, the more we have his peace and hope, love and strength, no matter what storms are raging in our lives. I submit to you, however, that our biggest enemy is not outside the wall of the sheep pen, but inside. The worst wolf is inside us, our sinful nature, and all the damage it wants to inflict upon us. And that's why we all need to be crying out, "Good Shepherd, save me from myself." There's our biggest danger. Our Good Shepherd Jesus is so much more than just a security guard or a sheep herder. We love the fact that we have police in this community, but how many of us really know all the policemen who stand guard to protect us? Jesus has a personal relationship with each and every one of his sheep. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I lay down my life for them." Jesus has a personal relationship. And notice what he compares that to his personal relationship with the Father. The Father intimately knows the Son, and the Son the Father. Of course, they're the triune God. How can they not intimately know each other? But then he takes that one step further. And so the Son knows his sheep intimately, personally, powerfully, and he says, "Guess what? My sheep know me." Intimately, powerfully. And so we are a sheep of his flock. And as he reveals himself, so in that revelation is divine power. In spite of being sheep in the good shepherd's flock, we also are members of this world. And so the evil of this world also touches our lives at times. Can bring pain, great pain and suffering. Sometimes our hearts are filled with fear over what our boss or our spouse or some illness is going to do to us next and torture us. Sometimes our hearts might be filled with boiling anger. Oh, we're angry at a coworker. We're angry at a family member. Or we're angry at the burglar. All who have robbed us of a promotion at work or our good reputation or our money. Sometimes we feel crushed in despair because we're rejected by the one we love so dear. Or perhaps we're crushed by the death of the one we love so dear. Or perhaps we're crushed because we're unable to find someone to love. We might be burning with fire, the fire of sinful passion, the fire of guilt gripping our throat, or the fire to have all the toys this world possesses. We might actually be crazy. Crazy in our pursuit of money, control, or in feeding our addiction. The fear, guilt, anger, desperation, anxiety, all those feelings in our heart are not compatible with the verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Well, how do we get from that tortured existence to God's green pastures of peace and hope and love and joy? Well, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. What do we know about our good shepherd Jesus? Quite a bit. Purely out of his love, he handed over his life to pay for our sins and on Easter morning rose in victory. If he can do that, can he not do everything else? He's the one who knew our sins personally and intimately and made them his own and suffered his heavenly Father's wrath in order to wrap us in God's love. He's the one who has fulfilled all the law that we might stand perfect, sinless, holy in God's sight, that he might promise us a home in heaven. He's already seen the home. He's made the home that awaits you and me when we leave this world. He has rescued us in every sense from every demon that would like to torture us. And what has he said? Oh, our good shepherd says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Live at peace with everyone. Forgive as I have forgiven you. Do not covet. Do not lust. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Walk humbly before the Lord. Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' Cast all your cares upon me." When we forget our good Savior's words, then we fill our hearts with evil, with anxiety, with fear, with dread, and we forfeit the peace our good shepherd has won for us. And that's why we continually, daily need to keep on praying, "Oh, good shepherd, save me from myself." If we bottle up all the pains in our hearts, then that moves us, it pushes us, it drags us into all kinds of sins. We hold on to grudges. We brew and stew and roll over in our minds a million times what wrong have been visited upon us. We might even be doubting God's ability to really save us and rescue us and bring love and peace into our life anymore. We strike out because of our loneliness or rejection or fear. We lust, we greed, we gossip, we slander, we hurt people's hearts. We hurt, we kill, and all the time blaming others. We fixate on those who initially hurt us so we don't have to look at what our heart is doing. And we lie to ourselves saying, it's their fault that I'm sinning. Has pain found a place in your heart? Is sin growing there? Are you then wondering why this peace seems so far off and why your bones are wasting away in your anguish all day long? Jesus calls for us to identify that pain, each one by name, call it out in the open. He wants us to repent specifically and individually for each sinful thought and word that is brewing and stewing in our hearts. Today it is time to take our eyes off of those who have hurt us and put them on our hearts and the ache and pain and evil that may be infecting our hearts. Today we need to pray. Oh, good shepherd, we cannot get this out of our heart ourselves. You remove it by your divine grace. By your supreme sacrifice of your life, you died so that we might have peace and have it to the full. Come and take this pain, this fear, these sins out of our hearts and replace them with your divine grace so that we might have all that you have intended for us, that love and joy, hope, peace, contentment, wisdom. Oh, good shepherd, save me from myself. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This picture of our good shepherd standing over his sheep, they're safe and secure and loved. That picture fills our hearts with peace and our eyes with tears of joy. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. This is the life our good shepherd wants to give us each and every day of our lives, that we might find our rest in Him and Him alone. And oh, what a rest that is. Let's hand over our hearts to Him and all that swirls within our hearts into His care and keeping. Just like Jesus said to His disciples in the upper room, He appears, and what are the first words out of His mouth? Peace be with you. Really? Peace be with you. Amen. Please rise. We pray, Heavenly Father, Good Shepherd, come and visit us this day through your word and renew our hearts and minds by your glorious grace. May the light of your truth, your grace, shine ever brighter in our heart of hearts, that we might have our beginning and our end with you, and in you find that joy and delight that only comes from your enormous love. Bless us and fill us to overflowing, dear Lord, that we might sing your praise for time and for all eternity. Amen.